hear this. Grace has nothing to do with what we do. Grace has everything to do with what Jesus did one time for our sins. And when we understand the appointment with death that Jesus had, imagine knowing your destiny, being born to die. Imagine knowing that. Everybody celebrated the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Our Messiah has come, and now he's going to die? Yes. But he died so that all of us could live forevermore. We will never taste death as a follower of Jesus Christ. We'll never taste death, church. We'll never taste death. But we will pass on into a life that God has given us because of Calvary. I said last week, I believe that they can try to silence all they want the gospel message. They can try to silence the name of Jesus. They can try to silence the cross. They can try to silence the blood. But the message was going to go on no matter how many people shut up about it. It's going to go on because the message is bigger than any one individual. The message is bigger than any one church. The message is bigger than any one body. The message is universal. It's forever. Jesus says, to my kingdom there is no end. It goes on forever and ever and ever. And as people are dead and buried, Jesus goes on. As churches close the doors, Jesus goes on. As the laws try to change things, Jesus goes on. And he will not be silenced. You look at the skies, you see the hand of our God. You look at the seas, you see the hand of our God. You look at human life, you see the hands of our God. You can't escape his presence. You can't escape the knowledge of who he is. You can't escape that there is an eternity for each of us. And that 2,000 years ago, this soldier bore the greatest burden ever, dying for our sins. Hebrews 9. If you will read these verses and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, it'll change your life today. You'll leave here different. Hebrews 9, and we're going to begin with verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Talking about Christ. He entered. How many times did he enter? Once. He didn't enter over and over. He entered once into the holy place, the place we couldn't go, the place we couldn't touch because we weren't holy. Having obtained what kind of redemption for us? Eternal. Imagine this. Jesus went behind the veil we couldn't touch because our hands were dirty and soiled by sin. Even the high priest could only go in that place one time a year. And he had to do everything exactly right, or else. Jesus went in one time behind the veil to obtain, to gain, to get for us eternal, never-ending redemption for us. We must understand, church, we either believe we're saved and we're God's or not. But what a cursed life it is not to ever know. Or to live your life one day thinking you're saved and one day you're lost. We start trying to get ourselves in the way, mixing it up. This is what Paul said when he was talking about that some of you have fallen short of grace. That's been preached wrong for many years. It's not talking about that we've lost our salvation. Paul's saying you've left grace to go back into works. You've fallen short of grace. You've fallen short of the gospel you heard preached, the message you heard. Paul was so emphatic about it is Jesus alone, crucified and resurrected, that gives you eternal life. If that price paid wasn't enough, why do we celebrate Jesus? Why do we honor the cross at all? If there has to be anything added to what this soldier did, why do we even honor the cross at all? Because it wouldn't be enough. But it is enough. One time, eternal redemption. This This boggles the mind of some who have sinned so much and been in such a dark place. They say, there's no hope for me because you don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. You don't know how dark of a hole I've been in, and the things I've done against humanity, the things I've done against myself and my family and those that I love. None of that matters when grace covers you. That's the point. Imagine grace being two open arms, and you are broken, and you are just you're completely broken. You think there is no way God could ever love you, but here is grace, and here are you broken, and you just simply walk, and His arms of grace hold you and cover you and say, "You're my child, and I love you deeply." When we look in the mirror, we see all the mistakes. When God looks at us, He sees the creation. When we look in the mirror, we see all the past failures. When God sees us, He sees the future appointments they were destined to have. Our sins doesn't alter God's plans. Do you hear me? Our mistakes doesn't mean God, oops, you didn't mean to save me because I can't seem to get it together. You show me one person's got together in this place and you will get a gold star. And maybe even a certificate to me, Pablo's. None of you's got together. And the ones that are smiling the most like me sometimes are the most broken. None of us have it together. But Jesus died so we could be free. Free from the pain, free from the past, free from the guilt, free from the condemnation, free from the lies, free from the chips on our shoulders we carry all of our lives. Church, as a pastor, I see that so many times. I see people that are carrying such chips on their shoulders. Let the chips fall. Jesus died to get rid of those chips off your shoulders. And church, you don't have to prove nothing to anybody else. You serve God. God knows your heart. You don't have to jump hoops to make somebody else think more of you. Be who God made you to be. Period. God knows the humility of our hearts. And He died knowing we would make a lot of mistakes afterwards. Yes, we still sin. But the seed of sin has been removed by the grace of Jesus. When you plant a watermelon seed in the garden, you expect to get a watermelon, not a squash. You expect to get a watermelon. When Jesus saved our souls and changed our hearts, His seed was planted inside of us. So what do we produce now? Children of God. That's who we are. We've had identity change, church. We've had an identity change. We don't always look like Christ, and we don't always act like Christ. And we may be doing some ID up in here from time to time. I understand that. But you know what? He still loves you. In your bad moments, the love of God never fails. In the moments that you are broken, in the moments you are in sin, in the moments you mess up, in the moments you fail in your own eyes, you feel like you fail God. You've not failed God. He redeemed you. He set you free. And guess what? When He died on the cross and gave up the ghost, He knew all the stuff James Lewis would do after he found Christ. That wasn't right. Every mistake, every failure, every wrong word, every wrong thought, every wrong move. But you know what? The Bible says while we were without Christ, He died for the ungodly. Before, none of us were here when Jesus died. And when we come to the altar and we say, "Jesus, I need a Savior," He doesn't say you got to be perfect from here on out. He simply says, I love the bumper stickers, right? Not perfect, just forgiven. We ought to live that way, church. We're forgiven. The Bible says He's removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. Your iniquities will I remember no more. Pretty profound statement. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, in other words, if those old sacrifices did what it's supposed to do back then, how much more, in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more should we not be walking in dead works, works that no longer produce life, but understand that the blood of Jesus, it fixed it. You know, some of you are hypochondriacs probably. I would say, you know, in any crowd you got a few what you call hypochondriacs. If you don't know what that means, it means you're always worried about something that's not there. Oh, I bet I got cancer because you thought you spit up blood and it's because you had a red gummy ball. I mean, you know, you're a hypochondriac. Oh, God, I got cancer. Honey, that was a red. Oh, yeah. You know, that's how we are. Hypochondriacs. We're always worried about something that's not there. When we're saved, when we're God's child, these are things you don't have to worry about. Going to hell, ever tasting death, having a kingdom to walk in that's forevermore. You've got, those are things that you don't have to worry about, and you're going to inherit what God says you are going to inherit. Quit letting the devil keep things in your mind that aren't there. I mean, if God says he's forgiven us, walk in that forgiveness. We've got to let go of our own self, because all we see when we see ourselves is all that we've been wrong and all that we've been bad. And it's hard for us to see ourselves in the way God sees us because of our human thinking. But God sees us as a new creation. That's what the Bible says. Old things are passed away, all things become new. I mean, man, we preach forgiveness, we preach we're saved, we preach the blood of Jesus, we preach redemption, but we live lives of bondage. I know I make mistakes. I know I'm not perfect, but I know I'm forgiven. And I know God's not cast me aside because of every mistake that I make. The Bible says there's no, where the remission of sins is, there's no more offerings. You know what this means? That what Jesus did was enough forever. There's no more offering to be made for sin. No more offering. He's forgiven us forever. And see, religious-minded people can't get out of their head, but what? Preacher, you're telling people they can do what they want and be saved. I've never said that. But I'm going to tell you this. If you think you can be unsaved by your mistakes and failures, that means you think you were saved by your good things and your good deeds. You're out of grace. God said, the Word says, there is none righteous, not one. None righteous. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. Here is us, here is God. There was a great gap that we just couldn't touch God because sin was right here. And then he went behind the curtain, paid the price, removed that sin. So now the Bible says we can come to the throne of God with boldness. The word boldness, church, means confidence. I can with confidence come into his presence. Confidence he's going to hear me. Confidence I'm his. Confidence he's going to touch me. Confidence he's going to answer me. Confidence that he's never going to leave me. Confidence that he's in me and I'm in him. Confidence to come to his throne because of what he did. It changes our whole walk when we understand this. Don't let other people keep you down. And don't get caught up in yourself and what you're doing, because it's not enough. You can give your life savings to the church. You can fast and never eat again till you die. You can pray in ash in sackcloth and ashes until the Lord returns. But you're no more holy. Holiness is Christ in you. That's holiness. When we understand Christ in us, see, when God sees James, church, if he rolled my scroll out, man alive, I hope none of y'all were around to see it. Good gosh almighty. If I'm standing at the pearly gates and Peter's sitting there and says, James, Lewis, step up. Yes, Apostle Peter. Roll my scroll out. I ain't worried. I'm on Robin Hood. There's a lot of James Lewis's around. I got you. You're the right one. Did I do enough good to make it? Or did I do enough bad not to make it? And after Peter rolls that scroll out, he says, just kidding. Rolls it back up. I see the blood. Welcome home, son. To realize the list of things we've done to disqualify ourselves in the flesh and to know that grace has qualified us. Wow. We hear stories of that. We've been taught that our whole lives. Church, I'm not going to be standing before God and Him pointing out every failure I made and saying, wait in the waiting room, I'll let you know how it turns out. I'm covered because I've believed in what this man did for me. He died for me that I could be free. Free to live forevermore. Not only here on the earth, but in His kingdom. To live free. Free from all the stuff. I want to see this body. I want to see this body of people that God has brought here to Living Word grow so much spiritually and break out of the shell of condemnation and the shell of guilt and the shell of shame. Knowing if you've talked to Jesus, He's wiped it away. If you've talked to Jesus, forgive me, God. Me and Melanie used to sing a song years ago. We sung it at our Walmart Christmas dinner. What sin? What sin? God, every time He's saying, what sin? I told you, I don't see that way. You know, you love your own children, no matter how of a knucklehead they are, right? No matter what they do, no matter if they got a 6-digit number on their back, you love them. No matter how they talk to you, you just can't turn that love off. You may get mad at them. You discipline them, you correct them. But you know what? You love your children. And you can't stop loving them even when you're mad at them. It's like the old saying, you know, let somebody else cuss your kid or hit your kid. You're ready to go to prison for that. You can backslap them all day long. They're yours. Somebody else backslap them, they're in trouble. That's how God is. Let somebody backslap you and see what God does. You want to know where thunder and lightning comes from? Yeah. You ever been hit by lightning? Explains a lot. God takes care of us. And He don't stop loving us because we rebel. Or because we go through a bad season. He doesn't stop talking to us, I'm not talking to you no more. No. The Bible says God is love. That's how you define God. He is love. Regardless of how we live, God is love. And if we can understand the depth of love He has for us, it would transform our lives. He loved us so much, He gave it all up for us. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. This is chapter 10, verse 9. Next chapter over, verse 9. He said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. What's the first? The old order, the law. I'm taking that legalistic system out of the way and introducing to you a brand new system. It's called grace. Look at verse 10. By the which we are sanctified. Now, we've been taught sanctification is all about us being holy in ourselves. We can't sanctify ourselves. We're sanctified through the blood of Jesus. Is that a cell phone? If y'all can silence your phones, church, I need to start announcing that. If you could just put it on silence or vibrate or something, please. We are sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Say on that verse a minute, Jeremy. We are sanctified. Sanctified. Sanctification has been a religious word we threw around to, you know, if we shout more, we're sanctified. Speak in tongues more, we're sanctified. Right? Come to church, but we're sanctified. Sanctification has nothing to do with what we can do. It is, we're sanctified through not by ourselves, but through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Sanctify means set apart. We're set apart. We're no longer part of the world. We're now part of God's kingdom. It's like taking a person from this point and putting them right here. You were in darkness and sin. Now you're in light in my kingdom. You were lost and on your way to hell, and now you're set free and on your way to the kingdom. We have been set apart for God's cause. And how, look what it says, once for all. Sanctified once and for all. Man, there would be none of you. I don't care how what you say, you'd be fibbing in your spirit. There is none of us that would want to try to go to heaven based on our own merits. Billy Graham would tell you the same thing. Billy Graham, in my eyes, just from following his life and history, is one of the most men of integrity in the ministry I've ever known. When he used to go evangelize on the road and stay at all the hotels he would go in, he would send people in the room before him to make sure there was no women waiting in the room or nobody was in there trying to set him up, because he cared so much for the character of the gospel. Not been a scandal on Billy Graham. He's just preached the gospel message of grace. And Billy Graham would tell you, I preached for 70 years or however long. I preached in 55 countries. Preached to probably billions of people. And he would say, there's no way I would earn heaven by what I've done. We gained the kingdom because Jesus came and he gave his life and he died for us. And because of that, church, we are set apart and we have an appointment with destiny that the devil can't take away. When you get so discouraged, remember this. The devil, you can't take away what God's got in store for me. You can't rob me of what God's already put in place. See, I'm a kingdom person. I'm a child of the living God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I am the beloved of God. I am his and his forevermore. And there's nothing the devil can do. He can rattle my cage. There's things that he can bring into my life to distract me and try to discourage me, but he cannot take away and rob what happened at the cross. Church, that's a done deal. That appointment is set and sealed and delivered. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's not going back in the grave. He's up and out and at him forevermore. That's the Jesus we serve. So he can't ever take that away. People say, why is the devil, if he can't steal your salvation, why is he attacking you so bad? Because he wants to steal your joy and your peace, and he wants to rob you from getting anybody else in the kingdom. I mean, man, if I'm so discouraged, I wouldn't be, if I stay in a state of such discouragement I couldn't preach, look at what would be at stake. All the lives that I wouldn't reach, that wouldn't hear the word of the gospel. If I'm so discouraged, if I'm so depressed, I can't even preach the gospel, it affects other lives. The devil can't take something he didn't give you. It's that simple. There ain't none of you taking my wife. God gave her to me. You can take her for a little while, just bring her back. But she's my wife. God gave her to me. God gave these kids to me. They're mine. God gave them to me. The devil can't take away something he didn't give you, but he sure does try to challenge that and keep you so down and depressed. Oh, if I was just this, I should be more this, should be more this, should be more. Look, God knows you're weak, church. Paul was weak, man. How many, you know what he said? What I want to do, I can't do what I do. You know, Paul struggled. You don't think Paul, look at Samson, he struggled. Look at King David, he struggled. Men of God, women of God, they struggle. We're not some twilight zone euphoria that we're so caught up spiritually, we're just a bliss to what's around us. Not unless you're on drugs. I mean, we know what's going on around us. And we hurt when someone dies. We hurt when our kids rebel. We hurt when our wife or husband leaves us. We hurt when we lose our job. We hurt in those situations. It doesn't make us less holy or less faithful. It makes us human. And church, that's what we are. And only by the grace of God can we face every day with strength, with understanding and the wisdom, saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. Go to the next scripture. Every priest standeth daily. This is talking about the old order. This is how it used to be. Every priest would stand every day offering the same sacrifices. And look what it says. It can never take away sins. It can never do it. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one. Church, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about a powerful death. This death canceled out sin of all mankind that would receive it, I mean, forevermore. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And then he sat down on the right hand of God. Sitting down indicates completion. It means if Kevin was up here ministering this morning, I was here, but I had him minister. When he got done, what would he do? He'd sit down. Back to you, Pastor. He'd sit down. I'd come up, close it out. That's how it works. Sitting down indicates I finished it. I'm done. I've completed it. You're forgiven. That's the power Jesus demonstrated at Calvary. It's more than bling bling we wear. It's more than just a religious symbol. It's so much deeper than that. It's more than just a bearded man that walked Galilee or a picture on your living room wall or, you know, it's so much deeper than that. If we know what he really did for us, one sacrifice for sins forever, what priests couldn't do daily, never took away sin, but what Jesus did took it away forever. Next scripture. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, for one offering, he hath perfected, how long? Forever. Them that are sanctified. Forever. He's perfected them forever by this one sacrifice. Yes, we strive to be like Christ. We stay in our word. We read. We should want to be the light and example that God called us to be. But don't discount yourself when you mess up. Don't discount yourself when you fall. And don't let nobody tell you, well, if you've been Christian enough, that wouldn't happen. That's bull. I've seen some Christians go off the chain. The ones that shout on Sunday morning can be the ones that holler on Monday night. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter about our outward show, church. It's about our inward transformation. It's who we are in here. I see such discouragement where people are being put down, judged, because they're not this enough. They're not this enough. They're not this enough. My God. I just thank God he was enough for me. Without Christ, I would be lost. That's what Paul said, the hope of glory, Christ in me. Paul says, if Christ had not risen from the dead, we would still be in our sins. But we're not. Look what he says here. Their sins and iniquities. I want you to really stare at this verse a minute, church. I want you to look at this. We can't forgive someone that didn't pay us back $2. He says, your sins, your iniquities, I will remember no more. It's so removed from the eyes of God that he's not holding us accountable for the mistakes we made because the blood covers those mistakes. That's grace. That's what he did for us. We beat ourselves up over and over. Our mistakes just follow us and they haunt us and they keep us up at night. We can't sleep because of things in our lives. God says, I've forgiven you. I don't even remember. Why are you losing sleep over something I've set you free from? I've set you free. Next scripture. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Stand fast, stand firm, stand solidly in the liberty Christ has set you free. He did the work, not us. He did the work. That's why he gets all the glory. That's why I tell people all the time, through the years of preaching, I've always told this church, look, it's not my job to point out your sins. You know what your sins are. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring those things and to help you and to cleanse you and to lead you to the right path. Not mine. My job is to point what the Word says. Then the Holy Spirit does the rest of the work. Stand fast. God has set you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That law, church, that, you know, that trying to earn yourself into heaven is a bondage. Because you never have peace about it. I mean, church, there are folks that believe, and if you're one of them, I'm not at all being derogatory. I'm trying to help encourage and help enlighten this morning the true grace of Jesus. There's people believe that the trumpet sounded at this very moment, and your life wasn't exactly in your eyes the way it should be, that you would miss the mark. Let go of that fear of bondage. Your God's. You either believe you're God's child or you don't. It's not both ways. I'm God's child or I'm not God's child. And as God's child, I'm not going to be perfect, but thank God I'm forgiven and he loves me. And there are people that live that way. My uncle, before he passed away at the Bryan Center, he was so tormented by that. I mean, he kept, you know, told me, my dad, I think I've done enough to get in, don't you? I've done enough to get in. I don't think I've done enough to get in. And we would just, you know, he would understand this message. We just say, yes, you're going to make it. Now, believe me, you're going to be in heaven. You've done enough, brother. You're going to be in heaven. He knew Jesus. He loved Jesus. But man, when you're taught all this stuff, once again, church, I believe we live for Christ as much as we can live for Christ. But understand, we're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way. And we're not going to always do what's right. And even if you don't do the big sins, and we know what the big sins are, right? I always say this in jest, the big sins. Fornication, adultery, drunkenness, lying, cheating, swearing, I don't know, whatever, the big sins. What about this right here? Ooh. Well, that's a knife worse than any of them. That's okay. I can take a drunk man home. I can help talk to a person in adultery or fornication that's broken and needs healing. But when someone's doing this with this, that hurts way more. Those are things that can destroy you. So when you get to St. Peter and say, like the rich man did, I've kept all the commandments, Jesus. Peter, I've kept all the commandments. I was faithful to my wife, married one time, never divorced, never had any intimate relations with anyone else but my wife. I never smoked anything. Got to say that now. I never drank an alcoholic beverage. I never looked at a picture of a person with no clothes on. But we've lost the battle on all those already. Just those first four things, we've all lost that battle. I've never said a cuss word in my life. I've never played the lottery. I've not even played church bingo. Peter, I've done nothing wrong. I've not, you know, my hair never got past my collar as a man, and my wife never cut her hair. My wife never wore a pair of pants. I didn't know she had legs till she died. We could say all these things. And Peter will say, did you ever say a cross word ever to anybody, about anybody? Did you talk about anybody? Did you gossip about anybody ever? What's that? Huh? That's what I thought. Down button. the lake of fire shall envelop you. I just love the people we classified sins. How we classified it. You know? Adultery, that's really bad. Homosexuality, that's worse. Sex before marriage, that's really bad. Drinking a few beers ain't too bad, but getting drunk's real bad. Drinking wine's okay, but drinking beer's a sin. Drinking a mixed drink's okay, but drinking a vodka's you're going to hell. I mean, smoking cigarettes okay, but man, weed, you're gone. I mean, it's how we classify this stuff. Put it in all these categories. My God, ain't no wonder we're so confused. And we got to be careful that religious pride don't get a hold of us to think we're some elevated angel. Because I'm going to tell you something, all of our wings could be clipped pretty quick. My beautiful angelic wife can have an exorcist sigh too. My age and younger, y'all know that movie. If you're older, you may not know that movie. The girl's head turns around, you know. Melanie, let her mess. Y'all mess with me or our kids. Or to church people, and she will become a different woman. Her feathers, she'll be like a peacock. Them, wow, wow, wow. I mean, man, she'll be on the march. I've had to cool off a few times from getting my phone and calling people. Honey, look, that's okay. I'll handle it. I'll handle it. Because she loves us, and she loves you. She's protective over this church, I'm going to tell you that. If she hears one of you talk about somebody else, she's ready to, she's on fire. Mm. It's our church. You don't talk about that. She's defensive. But you know what? We all have fallen short. So we got to understand that we're sanctified, we're redeemed, and we're born again. Not by anything, church, we can do other than call on Jesus. Lord, I need you. I need to know I'm your child. And he comes in and ushers his presence into our lives and begins to change our heart. We can't change our heart on our own. Do you know that? Salvation is not a head knowledge decision. We must be drawn by our inner man that we need a Savior. It's not a decision we make because someone says, you've not been saved, raise your hand, you won't get saved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's got to be something inside of you that speaks to you, I need a Savior. I need born again. One more verse, John 8:36. That's my last verse, right, Jeremy? John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, the Son has set us free, church. We don't have to keep carrying. There are some of you that are carrying such burdens. I mean, you're loaded down like a pack mule with problems, and you're trying to carry it. And God says, cast your burden on me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. You aren't meant to carry those things. Here's something I've had to learn. We first started the church. The biggest concern we had starting a church is probably what all churches are concerned with. We first started was the finance. We're going to have enough to make it. We're going to have enough coming in to keep the church going. In the first few years, we had a very small congregation. God always has blessed our church financially. We've never had an issue with that. But I would get so hung up on the offering to be so low. We first started out, there were some offerings that they were really low. And Mella got tired of me whining about it. And one day boldly spoke this to me. Said, James, God didn't call you to finance the ministry. He called you to lead the ministry. God will take care of it. And something triggered in me that day, and I really did let it go. And I'm like, you know what? She's right. God, you're in this. Ain't my burden to carry. You open these doors, you'll keep them open. I didn't go out seeking this church. For those of you who don't know the history, I didn't go out seeking to be a pastor. It wasn't my thing. I thought I would always be where I was for the rest of my life. But because of Walmart people, Von Seal, Karina, as a preacher, I want you to preach. I preach in Wilkesboro. I can't, that's too far to go, you know. I live down in Moore's, So if you're a preacher around here, let me know. And they kept on, when you go preach, Von Seal, I go by the little fabric department. You got a service in that, you know, Boston accent. You got a service set up yet? Are you going to have coffee? You know, whatever. And I kept saying, so finally, Melanie says, you know what? Says, we had a family here that had a baby shower at Monticello Fire Department. Why don't we rent the fire department out and just have a Saturday night service? I said, okay. Rent the fire department out. Sent out little bulletins. Took them to Walmart. Passed them out, you know, having service. It was supposed to be a service. That's all I was supposed to be, was a service. So the Walmart folks, the one that, you know, they knew I preached, said, hey, we'll hear you preach. Okay, well, we'll have a service. They came out. And then it took a few weeks, and they said, when do we have another one? I said, you want to have another one? Yeah, okay. So I did another Saturday night service. And we did that for several months, just Saturday night service every now and then. And now here we are. It wasn't something I planned. It wasn't something that I personally desired. But God opened this door. So I know God's in this church. This is not a man-built church. This is a Holy Spirit-built church. I passed this land 4 years of my high school life, going to North Iredale, passing this land. It was empty. 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, going right by this land, sitting here empty. And I bet every time I went by, God was smiling and winking. If he only knew. And then God blessed us with this land with a wonderful price and just opened that door up. We paid this land off in 10 months. It was $66,000 we paid for 11 acres of land on the interstate. We paid it off in 10 months with about 40 or 50 people. Then we built the church here. We paid it off in 7 years. And now we got plans to go on. I'm meeting with two contractors this week to get some ideas and get some estimates on what our project we're wanting to do. God's in this. It's God's hand. My whole point telling that was this. Once Melanie spoke it to me, I quit worrying about the finance. And I really do. I mean, I don't, for years I'm not worried about it. I mean, God's in it. And I've told God, we're not in it anymore, then let me know. I'll walk away. When you're done with me, I'll walk away. I don't want to be a hindrance if my season's over. And God took that burden off of me, and I quit worrying as much about, was he going to make it financially, and started focusing on the church like I should. But God used Melanie to speak that into my life. God wants to take, you're carrying burdens that aren't yours to carry, is my whole point. You're carrying stuff you can't, you're trying to change your child. You ain't going to change that 40-year-old kid. You're not going to change them. God can, but you're not. Spend your whole life trying to change your grown kid. They a grown man. They a grown woman. And you're burning up energy and time and robbing your current life for it. Let God have that. You're carrying brokenness of past mistakes that you're still carrying. And you think you've got to pay that the rest of your life because you did it. Well, whatever a man soweth, there's, yeah, I understand that. But every season ends. Corn don't grow for 20 years. It grows for what, a few months? Then you reap it and you plant new corn. Unless you got a miracle garden. You got to plant it every year. We're carrying those things that we're not meant to carry. Jesus bore our afflictions. He carried our sorrows. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's what we have to realize. He did that for us. He doesn't want us broken. Church, being broken is not being humble. Being broken is being miserable. It shows no humility going around broken. Oh, I'm broken. For the glory of God, I'm broken. No, for the glory of God, you're going to be risen. For the glory of God, you're going to walk in life and power and anointing for the glory of God. Rise from your ashes today. Quit staying there. You're staying there. There's no reason to be there. That place is dead. God's got something else for you to walk into. Let that door close so he can open a new door for you. That's what he wants. Let it go. If you don't know Jesus today, church, people are so confused because we take our stuff, we mess up on our sins, our mistakes, and we mistake that for being lost. I'm Melanie's husband of 23 years. I've not always been the best husband. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've raised my voice at my wife. I've argued with my wife. I left the house mad at my wife and got my little car, a little three-year-old, and took off. I've not been the best husband. I've not listened to her like I should all the years. I've made a lot of mistakes. I don't know if any husband does listen like he should, but anyway, just throwing that in there. I don't maybe show her the attention through the years that I always should have showed her. But you know what? I'm still her husband. Not been the best one. I've been as close as a husband can be as the best one. Right? But I'm made mistakes. As a father, my Lord, willing to go there, right? As a parent. I'm all the way to the grave, you're saying that, right? I could have been a better mother. All the way to the grave, you're laying there in hospice, barely breathing. I could have been a better. I mean, you know, you just say that. I can't go back and change things, mistakes I made with my kids. I know I've made mistakes. Too hard, not patient enough, get on my nerves, you know, go on, trying to watch the game. I can't change those things. So I give them to God. And I can't carry that the rest of my life. You can't keep carrying what you're carrying the rest of your life. It's ruining your life. God wants to blossom and bloom you. But you can't bloom until you let him prune some things and get some things gone and bring some healing. I want to ask you before we close our service out this morning. We're celebrating the fallen soldiers of our nation. And we have Jesus. One life. We said 1.4 lives or so have been spilled in 10 major conflicts for our freedom. One life was spilled that billions of people would not die. And you're one of those. If you want to give your heart to the Lord today, just maybe you want to rededicate your life. You just need the brokenness healed. You just want to be in his presence. I want you to sing a little something, Kevin, if you can sing a little something here. And I want you to come up and just talk to God for a minute. Just bow your knees or say, Lord, I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me. I need the brokenness healed. Maybe some of you are so bound by your past, that's all you see. And God is saying, I've got so much more for that. Doesn't matter what you've done. I've wiped it away. I wish I could go back in time and undo things I've done. Wouldn't it be great to have a life rewind button? Just erase it. But we can't. But the blood of Jesus did. Y'all bow your heads for a minute. I want to open up the altar right now. And as they play and sing, I know we're a little bit over this morning, but just give time for the Lord to move. And if you need to come get some refreshing today, please do that at this time. Just talk to God. Let him help you.
He bore my stripes. He wore my shame. He took my pain, broke all the chains. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we could become the righteousness of him. For I am healed by the cross of Jesus, and I am not the same as I was. For the change in me has made me see that the word of God's the key. And by his wounds I am healed. He bore my stripes.
Yes, he did.
He wore my shame.
Plenty of room up here, church.
He took my pain, broke all the chains. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we could become the righteousness of Him. For I am healed by the cross of Jesus, and I am not the same as I was. For the change in me has made me see that the Word of God's the key, and by His wounds I am healed.
Sing it one more time, Kevin.
For I am healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
By the cross of Jesus.
Yes, we are healed by the cross of Jesus.
And I am not the same as I was. For the change in me has made me see that the Word of God's the key, and by His wounds I am healed. And by His wounds I am healed.
Beautiful song. We are healed by His wounds. Understand that, church. You don't have to carry it out of this place. You can leave it right here today and just trust God. Trusting God's so hard to do because all we see is our circumstance. Start seeing God when we see your circumstance. Magnify the Lord. Make Him bigger than your circumstance. I want to thank you for your time this morning, your reverence for the end of our service. I appreciate that. And have our ushers come on up, receive our offering this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your anointing here today, God. Every service is so different. I just pray that we recognize the difference and appreciate the difference in how you move and how you speak. Bless this offering today, Lord, as we give into your work and to your service. Let every hand that sows a seed be blessed by your hand, God, as they are sowing into good ground today, ground that's producing an eternal kingdom. Ground that's producing changed lives. We're here, God, because of your hand. I just thank you for the provision you've made and continue to make, and we give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.